Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I'm very, very excited on this wonderful Monday night, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again. But praise God, we are in it. And so because we're in it, I'm excited you decided to tune in on this wonderful, wonderful hour of power, if you will. And so I'm so excited, like I said, to share the lesson on tonight. But before I get into the lesson, I always want to thank those of you who may be listening for the very first time. So if this is your first time tuning in, Welcome, welcome, welcome. Our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. We may not be talking about a brand new topic, but it is definitely one that God has for us in this hour. And so we're hoping that the words will be encouraging to your ears, that it will maybe not educate you because it might not be a brand new topic, but one that will allow you to explore and one for you to dive into and get a little bit more understanding so that you can make the best possible decisions to make the necessary change or improvements or whatever it is that God has laid on your heart after hearing it, and then be empowered to not only make the changes, but to share it with someone else. So welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you, praise God, in a couple of months, I'll be able to say 10 years. Can you believe 10 years? Seems like only a couple months or maybe a couple years, but definitely doesn't feel like 10. But I'm so, so grateful that you decided to stay with me, whether it's been every week for the full 10 years or 10 months or 10 weeks or 2 weeks, however long it's been, I'm grateful that you tuned in again. And so you will always, always be acknowledged, because I'm grateful for all my listeners that continue to listen in and give me feedback, because you keep me encouraged, you keep me empowered, and you keep me wanting to study it to make sure that I rightly divide God's word, of course, but mainly that I am clear to hear from him. And so I know you're praying for me for that. And so I will always acknowledge you and say thank you. I also want to make sure that I always, always, always acknowledge the Omega Ministry Group and the leaders, Tammy and Jesse Storrs, for without them, praise God, I don't know that this would have been a vein that I would have stumbled in. Definitely not for this period of time, but I am always, always grateful for them, because without this platform, I don't know that I would be as strong as I am and walk as faithful as I try to. But it keeps me focused and keeps me engaged. And so I'm grateful not only that the platform they provide is here, but they're always and have always been examples to look forward to and to look up to, because they take their commitment and their assignment with the Lord serious. And because of that, many of us look to them for their leadership. And so I always want to make sure that I acknowledge them and call them by name. Now, our greatest, greatest praise has to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. He's your Father whether you even know it or not. He's all of our Father. He's everywhere and in everything. And so we always have to give him acknowledgement. So we want to make sure that we always start the broadcast with an upbeat song to get us in the mood, to let us know we're about to be given some revelation information. So when he says yes, nobody can say no. I acknowledge each of you, and then we go to him in prayer before we go to our lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to know you and to have a relationship with you. We thank you that you thought enough of us and loved us enough to teach us and show us how to love and how to love one another, and that you didn't leave us here alone, that you allowed us to have family and friends and companies and people that we can fellowship with to be able to share and to grow and to glean more on you. And so we thank you, Father, that you didn't stop with just providing other people, but you gave us some awesome, awesome resources that we can use to be one with you. And that's your word, that is the light and it's the lamp unto our way, and that it gives us everything that we need to help us to understand that we are powerful, that we have authority, and that we walk in your righteousness. And because of that, we can be confident and know that nothing can hurt or harm us. We thank you, Father, for the blood, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit reminds us when we need to move and to go and to be still and to be quiet, what to pray and how to pray. It makes utterances for us when we don't even know what to say or what to do. And so we thank you, Father, for that extra leadership that is within us. And because that is your Spirit that resides in us, Father, that it guides us and leads us. And most importantly, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for his sacrifice and for what you did on Calvary for all of us, so that we would have an opportunity to stand tall with you because of the blood. Because of the blood it protects, because of the blood we do have the authority and the power to trample on scorpions and serpents and to stand against any evil force, Father, because of that power. It helps us to overcome. And so, Father, we draw on all of that on tonight, that you open our hearts so that we'll understand and really take heed to the word that will be spoken on tonight. We know, Father, that all the things that we talk about and hear and read are information. But without you, we need the revelation, Father, so we can make the necessary changes for getting the information. And so only you can put the revelation stamp on it. So, Father, allow us to receive. Allow my mouth and my mind and my heart to be in line with you so that he or she that is listening, whether it's tonight or whether it's 2 or 10 months from now or even 10 years from now, Father, it will still be a rhema word, a word that carries revelation so that they can make the necessary changes to be more like you. Father, again, we know that you are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain. Because without you, we can absolutely positively do nothing. So we love you, we honor, we adore you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. If you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy. What Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so it's so funny that my family brings me water every time I do my broadcast. I never drink it to the end, but for whatever reason, I look for it and it's not here. But nevertheless, we will keep moving. But one of the coolest things about tonight's lesson was last week was a little difficult for me. And so as those of you know, I've been going through quite a few health challenges. And so cancer or COVID first, then cancer, and then strokes, heart attacks, aneurysms, all the other stuff in between. But here recently, I had an adjustment with my heart. And so with that, other things came to fruition of all these other things, praise God, that I have to pay close attention to and to heal and to repair. But nevertheless, I give them all to God, and God be the glory. But for those of you that do know, and that even in our best intentions to check the flesh to make sure that it lines up with the things of God, we have these moments where we have to make sure that we have spiritual walls, I'll call them for tonight, our spiritual walls up, because the enemy knows how to come at us and how to pick at those walls to find cracks. And once he finds cracks, then he can enter in. And once he enters in, we just don't know which direction he'll go in, because we've allowed the door to be open or the crack to be open. And so we have to be mindful and to make sure that we're conscious on doing what God has called us to do, so that we're always in line with his will and not the will of our own. Thus, the topic of this discussion came to play for tonight. And the topic is, my family is so amazing. Not only did she bring me water, but she brought me some orange Kool-Aid. Amen. But nevertheless, when we're talking about my will versus God's will, a lot of things came to mind this week. And so I thought, Lord, I know this is your will that I, you know, pray and keep myself, you know, completely surrounded, that I have my spiritual forces on, that I put on my armor. But my will ain't that strong this week. When I went in, well, I shouldn't say even this week, it was just particularly a couple of days that I had to go to the doctor. And this particular test drew me back from Minnesota, which I was on my staycation for a little while. But they said it was an emergency. I had to come back for it. So I came back, and then they didn't do it, go figure. But they actually did it this past Friday. And normally I'm used to needles, and I like, amen, I've been doing this for a long time. But this particular needle was huge. And I couldn't understand why this needle had to be used versus all the other needles I've had, because I'd never seen a needle this big before. And she explained to me that they had to enter it in with a big needle because the medicine that they had, the contrast that they had to put in to see my veins, could blow a regular needle. And so I thought, okay, well, amen. I have good veins. Thank you, Lord, for that. So I just won't look. But it was extremely painful. And then normally they tell you when the contrast is going to go through your body, because it makes your body feel kind of different. For those of you that have had x-rays where you've had to have the contrast, the iodine put in your veins. But this time it was different, because she said that they had to force it in fast, because it had to get in between each heartbeat so that they could see clearly how my veins travel that contrast and take pictures at the same time. So it's going to be very painful. And I remember telling her as she was explaining about this needle, I said, I remember one time, and I'm just doing this for just conversation to kind of calm myself and put myself in the right spirit. I said, I remember one time I took a test and I felt like, and it almost seemed like I could smell like my flesh was cooking. And I said, and I had to wonder whether it was the machine or was it something else. And she said, oh, no, that's about right. She said, that's what you're going to feel again this time. And I'm like, excuse me? And she said, yes, sometimes when that contrast goes in, it goes in at such a fast pace and the force of it. And then, of course, I'm taking the photos and all that. It kind of feels that way. So needless to say, I was still expecting her to warn me when she would put that contrast in my veins. And, of course, she didn't. But a machine, which is now pretty cool how the machine can talk to you, when it tells you don't breathe, hold your breath, exhale. I had never heard don't swallow. And I thought that was all because I was trying to ignore the pain, ignore the burning sensation, to ignore where it was, because it was in different places that it was, the heat seemed to be hotter in certain areas. Normally it's all over feeling, but this was in certain areas. So needless to say, it was not a cool experience, and it wasn't one that I could really just kind of zone myself into another place like I normally do at my test. I could pray through it, and, you know, and sometimes they play music and you can kind of zone out, but there was no music, there was no comfort, there was nothing, there was even no communication other than don't swallow and don't breathe and then breathe. So it was interesting to say the least, and so this went on for about 10 minutes, but of course that seemed like a lifetime. But nevertheless, when I left, it was because I have a scar on my other arm. And when I was in the hospital, it was, well, I put a little Band-Aid on just because we don't know if you're allergic to latex, plastic, or Band-Aids, or the adhesive, or whatever it was. But needless to say, so I have a little Band-Aid. And then because I'm on blood thinners, there was blood. But nevertheless, when I left, I thought, Lord, to you be the glory. But I didn't take it. And so I was like, Lord, it's your will for me to do this. But then it became my will towards the end of the day because it was, I couldn't shake feeling the way that I was feeling. Like, well, why am I still going through this? Why does it still have to happen to me? I'm doing what you call me to do, and I'm trying to do your will. But it just doesn't seem like this is letting up. And so I had to go, of course, to the Word. And that's one of the things I want to stress on tonight, why it's so important for us to be spiritually in tune. Because when we go through things, and some things are harder than others, you know, if I lost my job, that would be nothing to me. But it's all relative based on the person. And so your walk and whatever you're going through may seem really, really extreme for you, just as this process is extreme for me. But then when I talked to a couple people this week and realized that there are people worse off than me, I had to kind of check myself because it could be a whole lot worse. It could be I could be watching this process through one of my children and not be able to do anything. This I can not necessarily control, but I know how to go to the Word, and I know how to surround myself with worship songs and music and divorce myself to my closet and just pray this off of me. I couldn't do that for my child, and I couldn't make them understand or make them have a relationship. So I'm grateful that I have the relationship. I'm grateful that I know the Word, and I'm grateful that God communicates with me. Not as loud and as often as I would like at times, but nevertheless, what came to me is my will be done. And so, of course, the scripture reference that came to mind, of course, was the Lord's Prayer. Now, many of us have learned this prayer, at least for me it was, and most of the people that I know. We learned this prayer pretty early in life because it was a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And so I'm going to read the prayer, but then I'm going to break it kind of down into the understanding that God gave me that I believe that he wants me to share with you. But this is Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Then this is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, for some of us, we learn trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Whatever version you read, pretty much, it is the same. But the words are just a little different, but they just have different dialects on whichever version that you want to read. Of course, growing up, we didn't know what transgressions. I don't know what that wasn't the word. But anyway, our debts is just the same thing. Those that we are indebted to, those that have sinned against us, that we've sinned against them, same thing. But the words are different, so it kind of goes a little different based on some of us learned it through a song, some of us learned it through a rhyme, however we learned it. The part that I really want to focus on is the beginning. And the beginning is, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done. Now, the other day or so, I had my daughter pray, my youngest daughter pray, and she started in, and I acknowledged, well, I took note that she didn't acknowledge God being the Father or reverencing his name first. And so I had to stop her and explain to her that when you do pray, you follow not necessarily the Lord's Prayer in word for word, but it's a model prayer that we always acknowledge God first. And so it comes with, somebody put it together, the Acts Prayer, where it's A for adoration, C for confessions, T for thanksgiving, and then the S for supplications. And so you pray in that manner because it's outlined from this actual prayer, how Jesus modeled the disciples to pray, which in turn teaches us how to pray. And so you always give God his adoration first. That's why Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven, meaning that he is above everything. Hallowed be your name. How holy is your name above every name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And so when we say your will be done, we have to take into account that many times we forget that this ain't about us. We live this life. We're giving all these blessings. We're giving all these tools and all these things that we that are perishable. But to some degree, we equate them as success in this system. But we have to remember that God is way above all of this. And just as much as as easy as it came, we can lose it that way too. But we have to acknowledge that what we're living for, our purpose in living, is not for this earthly stuff. It is to have an eternal life with God in his kingdom. And that's why we have to understand what his kingdom represents and why it's so important for us to acknowledge his will and not our own. Now, one of the things that I think that I like the most about even studying our adversary and even writing the book that God blessed me to write was I talked about free will and the will, how Satan able to do what he does. And it's because God gave us all free will. And so if it was for us to operate in the will of God, why then would he give us an opportunity to choose whether we wanted to acknowledge our will, the will of others, or even the will of the enemy? Well, that's the thing that I love about God, is that he gave us free will. And that he gave us free will because he didn't want us to be robots, one. Two, he wanted us to love him because we wanted to, not because we felt obligated to. We want to acknowledge God and his kingdom and the things that come from his kingdom to be because we willfully yield ourselves to him. And that's why I like that it even says, give us this day our daily bread, and give us the opportunity to be forgiven of our debts and our debtors. And then he prepares us so that we don't have to fall into the temptation of the evil one. And so this prayer is a great model, but the key, at least for me, and the lesson that I think that God has for us on tonight, is that are we acknowledging his will are we pretty much answering the will of our own? And so we have to know that in order for us to be successful in this walk and in this life, even with all the challenges and the things that we go through, and even some of the successes, because this is some of the successes that we endure and that we overcome and that we triumph over, allows us to sometimes get the big head and think that we did it. And so we sometimes believe those blessings that God gives are to our doing. And so we have to remember to always be humble and submit ourselves to the will of God. And it's important for us to know that, because unless we understand it, how will we understand the calling that God has on our lives and then to actually walk in it and actually live in it? I love that there are so many examples in the Bible that God gives from different people, from the prophets to the apostles and disciples and some of the other people in the New Testament. But I like the Apostle Paul, and the scripture that gave me peace was Acts 22:14-15. And it says, God our Father has chosen us to know his will, to see and hear his voice, the voice of the just one. For we will be his witnesses to all men of what we have seen and heard. Now that gave me peace in my little funk, because I had to remember, Leah, this is not about you. This is the will of the Father. And because this is the will of the Father, because he could stop this whenever he wanted to. But nevertheless, it is part of the plan. Not saying that God gave me cancer or gave me a heart attack or all these things. But nevertheless, he will be able to use it because he knows who I am. And he knows my assignment. And he knows that I'm obedient to my assignment. And that I will use it for the betterment, because my greater reward that I'm waiting for, nevertheless. But my reward will be far greater than any big needle, scars, bumps, bruises. All of that is nothing compared to the reward that God would give me for being obedient to his will. And so I had to remember and use the story of Paul, and that's why his word is so important, that we go to his word so that we can find peace, that we can find, I'm going ahead, but nevertheless, Paul's example allowed me to understand that God chose Paul for his assignment. And because he knew his assignment, he was a witness not only to the people of his day, but our day and generations to come, because this living word is a living word. And so whenever you're going through, you have to find whatever you need in his word, because his will is in his word. Now, it is so important that we know, like I said, the purpose for our lives, that we were all created for purpose. We were given gifts and talents to be able to use to mold and to shape our purpose. And if you don't know what your purpose and what your call is for God, it is so important that you ask him. It is so important that you find out and that you do the things that are necessary to make sure that you're in line to be trained to do what God has called you to do. Now, it took a minute, I guess, because I don't want to say I just woke up one day and knew, but I knew the path once I realized that my life was dedicated to teaching and dedicated to sharing the word. I had to look over my life to see all the things that God has allowed me to process through to get me to this point. I started in elementary school tutoring small kids at a church up the street from my home. And then from there, I did other tutoring because I enjoyed it. I liked it. And then, you know, even in my work background, I was a trainer, a teacher, a manager. And so all of that led me and molded me in the world system. And then when I became spiritually employed in the church, then I was able to teach and train and develop other teachers and ministers to do what God had called them to do. And so I am grateful that God allowed my path to line up, because I asked, I wanted to know. And that's why it's so important that we stay in teaching environments, because when you're in teaching environments, it will build you up in the things of God. And even when you don't know, they can teach you how to get to know. And so I'm grateful. One of my girlfriends said that, you know, she's grateful that she's able to plug in on Mondays, plug in on Wednesdays, plug in on, I think another day she claimed, and then Sunday. So she's being fully fed throughout the week, that she's not waiting just for Sunday, that she's just not waiting for Bible study class. She's allowing herself to be trained and putting herself in a posture where she can be fed. My nephew years ago was on the broadcast, and he said, when you're ready to be a student, the teacher will always appear. And so when you want to know, and it's never too late, and that's the thing that I think we sometimes think, because another girlfriend, when we was talking about the hearts a couple weeks ago, and she asked me, well, Leah, which heart are you working on? And I said, I think mine is the hopeless part of the heart. But how we are constantly, we're in our 50s, and we're still seeking God for development, still seeking God to be better in whatever area it is that we know that we're lacking in. So we're never too old to find out, what is my real purpose? What did you create me for? And the coolest thing about God is that he will give you a platform. So no matter where you are, if you're even stationed to your home or stationed to your bed, God can still provide a way for you to minister his word, whether he sends somebody to you, whether he puts a phone in your hand and you can do ministry over the phone. However God will lead you to do it, he will give you an opportunity to do and to fulfill what you were called for. And so it interests me when I hear people say, I wish I knew what my will, what God's will is for my life. I wish I knew how to hear the voice of God. And all of that can be answered if you just ask. And I like that Luke 14 says, so like whatsoever of you does not forsake all that he has, cannot be, let me start over. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple. So first you got to die to yourself. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If it is neither fit for the land nor fit for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. So if you're here, praise God, you are here because God wants you to hear. And he wants you to hear that he wants a relationship with you. He wants to show you. He wants to teach you where you are supposed to be in line with what his will is for your life. Many times, many of us, we give our lives to Christ, and we think because we've given our lives to Christ, that's it. No, ma'am. All of us were created to draw others to him. And so if you're not drawing others to him, then are you doing your will? Or you're doing the Father's will, because the Father's will is for you to draw others to him. And so one of the things that I think that we have to remember, that God wants us to read his scripture. God wants us to, he wants to confirm his word in our lives to show us that he never violates his word, and that his word is alive yesterday, today, and forever. And when he speaks to you, he wants you to know his voice. He said the sheep will know the shepherd's voice. How will you know his voice if you don't doing what you need to do to make sure that you're in the posture to hear him? And so when you realize that you hear his voice, then you will start to see practical ways that God will line up the kingdom. Remember last week we talked about faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You got to keep hearing so that the kingdom and your faith will keep coming. Amen. And then it will rise up in your life. Now, one of the things that I think is also important is that we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1-2 says that, I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Acceptable to God is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank so many of us, we do part of this. And when we do this partly, then we are half-hearted. And I don't think that we want to present ourselves to God half-hearted. We want to make sure that we present ourselves to God, the one that is alive, the one that is full of truth and lead us to truth. We don't want to be half-hearted. We want to make sure that we are fully clothed and to present our bodies in a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. Amen. And so then the rest of the, I like this other translation. It says, so then, my friends, because of God's grace, mercy, God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is your true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by complete change of your mind so that you will know the will of God, what is pleasing to him and what is perfect. Now, like I said a couple of days ago when I got home from that test, it was overwhelming. And so I didn't know what else to do but to go to the Word. And so I listened to the Word and then reading the Word, and then it wasn't shaking. And so then I had to turn on some praise music. And then fortunately, when I go into those zones, I clean. And so it's unfortunate that I have to be kind of in a zone in order for me to clean up. But nevertheless, that's what I do. And so I clean almost my whole room. But nevertheless, but I had to shake that off of me. I could not function because the enemy had found a crack, and he had he entered and had me distracted. And it wasn't that I doubted God, because I would never do that. Been through too much, seen too much to do that. Never give up on God. Been through too much, seen too much, done too much, I'll never give up on God. But I was extremely overwhelmed and discouraged. And so I had to remember, how do I encourage myself? How do I take away the doubt? And then put myself back in the will of God, not in the will for me. And so I had to recognize that in order for me to continue to fulfill God's purpose, because how can I minister burden? How can I minister uncomfortable? I don't like it. I don't like ministering to people when I don't feel the move of God on me, because I don't want anything to tarnish anyone's growth or to stumble anyone's growth, especially when I have a platform to share the gospel. I am transparent as I can be for that purpose, so that people will know that we do get tired. We do get weary on this walk, but there is no other place to go but to God in order for that to be lifted, for us to have a better understanding. Okay, Lord, how did I allow this to come in? What did I do? What do I need to do to get this off of me? Because we all know that at the name of Jesus, demons tremble and bow. But when we're in our own will, we're back to that half-hearted commitment thing. And so there's no true power, no true authority. I can't tell the devil to get up off of me if I'm half-hearted. And so in order for the Holy Spirit to completely, fully reign through me, I have to get back in the will of God, because for that moment or minutes, hours, however long it was, I got into my own will, my own flesh, my own thoughts, my own desires. Lord, I don't want to do this no more. I'm not in control of that at this moment. I have to follow the plan that God has for me, and I have to walk this out to an entirety, because my prayer has been to conform the wise. And so it can't conform the wise unless I follow the plan and the path that God has for me. I can't authorize when I can get off the ride and when the ride's supposed to stop, and when they're supposed to pass out cotton candy and ice cream and orange Kool-Aid on the ride. I have to follow the will of God. And so my challenge to each of you, whatever it is that you're going through, that you remember, it is not our will. It is the will of God that we move and have our being. And so what I would like to do, full of the remaining time that we have, is to share with you how I had to build myself up and how I continually build myself up when that funky feeling comes over me. I call it my spiritual wall. And so when we talk about a spiritual wall, we're talking mainly about putting walls up around ourselves that that the enemy can't enter in. I like that when I looked at walls in the Bible dictionary, it said that walls are often referred to as things we need to break down or overcome. However, when we look at the walls in the Bible, they are also seen as structures that protect, providing security, a representative, a place of shelter, forming a sense of belonging. So when I put my spiritual wall up, I am enclosing myself with the word. I'm enclosing myself with the will of God. I'm enclosing myself with power and authority and promises that God gave me. And I'm shutting out all other things that are of this world or this system that the enemy tries to infiltrate to make me not think that I have whatever it is that God has told me that I owe, that I can stand in and have. And so there's seven steps. And so I'm basing this based on my favorite, my spiritual armor, of course, that's found in Ephesians 6. But we don't have time to go there, but read that if you need to know about your spiritual armor. But mainly based on that premise is because we have to understand that our warring is that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual forces in high places. So we have to have our walls up to protect us against these forces. Now, my situation is great, you know, trying to fight off, you know, the challenges that come with healing and all that. Your situation may not be that grand. It could be to pass a test. It could be to get a job or whatever it is that you feel like you're warring with. These apply to everything. So please don't mistake that just because my situation seems a little stronger. But I do this even when I have to pay a bill or I'm faced with smaller things. But I know for me that I have to have a better commitment or a bigger commitment just because I'm trying to finish this book and I'm taking spiritual warfare classes. And so the enemy is like really has me on a target, if you will, to try to discredit me and discourage me and to prevent me from moving forward. And so the thing that I look to most is that I'm doing the will of God and that because I'm doing the will of God, a greater reward is coming. So first and foremost, of these seven steps that I'm sharing with you tonight, they all have scripture references to go with them. And so I think I'm talking pretty slow tonight, but if I need to, I will repeat them if God so leads. But the first one is I have to make my spiritual stand. My spiritual stand I'm standing on is 1 Peter 5 and 8, where it talks about we have to be sober-minded and alert. I think sometimes we forget that I know my godmother, she's not my godmother, she's my children's godmother, but I say she's my godmother too. She's like, man, why do you talk about the devil? Why are you? Just because we don't talk about him, just because we don't think about him, doesn't mean he's not there. Doesn't mean that his presence is not there. The Bible says we have to be alert and sermon and sober-minded because the enemy prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Now, the coolest thing about this sentence, roaming who he can devour, he's looking prowling. Amen. That means that there are some people he's missing. Why is he missing those people? Because they have their spiritual stance. If you have your spiritual stance and you have your identity and who you are because you know who you are in the things of God, then he misses you sometimes because he don't see you. And so we have to make sure that we have our spiritual stance. We have to be alert. We have to be sober-minded so that when the enemy is prowling, amen, he's going to keep prowling because, amen, he can't come through this door because there's no windows, there's no cracks, there's no door. Nothing is open to him. So now even in my spiritual stance, I had to go through my house and anoint every wall and every door and every doorknob and every window latch to make sure that my house was covered spiritually so that I could stay covered on the inside in the times when I'm weak. Praise God. And so we know that the Bible tells us that we have to cover ourselves and be alert. You got to be in line with the things of God to know what you need to do for yourself. So it's not according to your will or not what Leah said, but what God said so that you can operate in his will, how to cover yourself and make a spiritual stand. But we do know that the word says in 1 Peter 5 and 8 says that we have to be alert and sober-minded. Amen. And number two, you have to have the right mindset. And I think sometimes we forget that because we know the word as our mind, and that's, I believe, how the crack opened for the enemy surrounding my home trying to find a crack. It was my mindset because I allowed myself to drift. And so what I have to do is focus on Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. And so I love that the word of God reminds me that I have been raised with Christ. I have to set my heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So if I set my things on the things above, I am going to be healed. I am going to be able to do what God has called me to do, free from pain, free from trauma, free from, I believe all that because I'm setting my mind on those things. So even when the pain from the injections or anything, I have to remember, I have to close myself, and I didn't close myself like I should have going to that appointment. I was frustrated anyway, and when I got there, the place that looked the way that I wanted it looked a little old and not to the standard that I wanted, nevertheless. So I got caught up in my mind, my flesh, my thought processes, and not at that moment. I should have stopped, and I should have prayed and been more focused on what is your will, Lord? What is this your will for me to be here? Do I need to reschedule or whatever the situation may have been? But I walked in there in my will and not God's will, and it may have been God's will for me to be there, but my mindset wasn't right, and so I had to repent for that, and then, of course, praise God, he fixed it. But nevertheless, I had to have a spiritual stance. I have to have the right mindset. And number three, I have to focus on the word of God. Hebrews 4 and 12, and I actually have two scriptures for that, but Hebrews 4 and 12, it's for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it is discerning of the thoughts and intent of the heart. So if I know that God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, why wouldn't I stand and depend on his word? And then the second scripture that I chose that I love to stand on is Psalms 119:105, that the word is the lamp unto the feet and the light unto my path. If I just follow God's word, like I said, if I had built myself up a little bit more, that crack wouldn't have been open for him to pull me down as far as he did on Friday. But nevertheless, I had to get myself closed back in the right mindset. I had to make sure that I had my spiritual stance, and I had to stand on God's word in order for me to get from up under that bondage, if you will. And then number four is just as important, and I think sometimes we forget that we have to use our mouth. We have to use our mouth to declare and confess the word of God. It's good that we can read it and we have it memorized in our heart. But just as we don't understand, as the enemy is searching and prowling and devouring, he cannot move when he hears the word of God. And so you have to speak it. You know, one of the things that I'm loving about studying the adversary is that he doesn't understand what goes on in our heads. The only reason why he knows how to stoop us and where our triggers are is because we tell him or we show him our triggers. So he can't read minds, and so he cannot anticipate unless we give him access. So if you're giving him access with your mouth using the word, then amen, he had prowling because there's no authority there. He has no place, no being there because you're declaring and you're confessing the word of God. And so the scripture reference that I have for that is Psalms 119. I guess I have a couple for those too. Psalms 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You're my rock and you're my redeemer. So if I'm saying the things that are pleasing to God, do you think the devil has time to hang around and hear that? Of course not. He's going to keep it moving. And then Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not necessarily saved doesn't just mean saved from the burning hell. It's saved from whatever, saved from drama, saved from all kinds of evil that the enemy is planning for you. But you got to confess that with your mouth, and you got to say Jesus. I know my daughter probably, amen, but she told me that she had a dream, and she said she couldn't speak. And she said she could see her hands, she could see things, but she couldn't speak. And so I told her, I said, you did say the name of Jesus or the blood of Jesus? She said, yeah, I said Jesus, and then I was free. At the name of Jesus, you got to speak. You got to say it. You got to say it. And then, of course, Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech always be gracious. Season with salt. Remember we talked about that salt in the beginning? It has to have its favorite salt so that you may know how to answer each person. And so if we think on the things of God and keep our mindset right, always have a spiritual stance and focus on his word, when we confess or declare or speak, it will be seasoned with the salt that God has for us so that we'll know how to answer each person. We won't give ammunition to the enemy to take note and to try to bully us or to take advantage of us because we're speaking the word. I remember me and my sister years ago, we used to call each other and speak to each other in scripture. It used to be the funniest thing, how we could even remember the scriptures to say, to even respond back and forth to each other. And that was all in fun, but we should do that more often because then it makes us easier to know what to say and how to say it and what not to say. And amen, declare the word. Number five, you know, I'm going to say it. It has to be prayer. We have to pray. We have to pray. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. And in some versions it says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you don't know the will for your life, if you don't know what God has planned for you, amen, ask him. When you go to prayer, that is a pipeline to him. He wants us to communicate with him. He is our creator. He is our master. He is our father. He is the king of the kingdom because I'm a king's kid. Amen. You've got to talk to him. And that's one of the coolest things that I think that I discovered early in my Christian walk, why it is so important for us to develop prayer. And that's why I end the broadcast with start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. And how do you pray without ceasing? It's not because you got your hands folded and you're on your knees and you got your eyes closed. You just talk to him. Lord, I know you're going to fix that needle because that needle is huge. It looks bigger than the vein sticking up. Do something with this needle. I'm going to close my eyes. Okay, close your eyes. Turn your head. So I close my eyes, turn my head. Now, in the midst of that, I have the awesome, at least for me, communication I have with God until my mindset gets distracted. And that's how the enemy gets in. And he makes me doubt and not believe in those few little moments because I'm grateful to some degree that when I fall out of the realm, that conviction is heavy on me and I don't like it. I don't like feeling that icky. I don't like it. And so it forces me to go to the Word. It forces me to turn my praise music on. It forces me to go by myself. If I have to drive, if I have to go outside, if I have to clear my room and close the door and not answer the phone, whatever I need to do, I'm grateful that I know how to do that. Same girlfriend was talking, you know, what if people didn't know what to do? And so praise God if you don't know what to do. I'm glad that you tuned in because that is what you do. You go to him and you talk to him. That's prayer. You are sharing whatever you need to share. One scripture that I read today, and I apologize, I didn't write it down. Oh, it was Isaiah 58. Cry out to him. It is important that we say what we need to say to him. He knows already, but more or less, if you're crying out to him, that goes even with your confessions and your declarations. Lord, I need you. You know, many times we'll say, we'll call our friends, or I needed you to come by here to see about me. And God had to convict me on that too because I want a whole bunch of people to come over and see about me. But it's not that season. I need to be in his will and his way. Why? Because a greater day is coming that I need to be prepared for. And so he's building me up for that day. When that day, I sure would like to know. But until then, I just got to believe that he's raising me up and training me to be in the posture I need to be in to deal with whatever it is that's coming. And so I'm grateful because he's done it before and he'll do it again, and I believe that. Now, the next one is just as important. It's fellowship. We have to fellowship with other believers. And why is it necessary that we fellowship with other believers? Because when we fellowship with other believers, we can pray with other believers. I like Matthew 18, 19. It says, when we pray together, we can say, if two shall agree on earth as touching anything, and they shall ask, it shall be done for them. So when we touch and agree, are you, amen. We're two again. God is in the midst. Are you? Oh, amen. I can shout, but I don't have time, and I got to hurt. And the last but not least is we got to rise above the fear. John 14:27 says, the peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give it to you as the world gives. So let your heart not be troubled. Do not be afraid. And then I love Philippians 4:7-8 says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Remember, Satan is roaming to seek who he can devour, but he is powerless when it comes to the word. So if we're ignorant to God's word, if we're ignorant to God's will, then we're operating in our own will. And it's not our will, it's his will. We have to be suited and booted and be ready for God's work. And then and only then have we the power and the authority that raised Jesus from the dead. Are you kidding me? We have to operate and walk in that authority. And that's the only way that Satan will keep roaming. Amen. So I'm going to say these scriptures again for those of you that need it. And then you can always go back to the broadcast. After, it takes about 5 minutes in the upload, and you can re-watch it or listen to it again. But I gave the most important thing is to put up your spiritual wall. You have to stand. That was 1 Peter 5:8. Mindset, Colossians 3:1-4. Focus on the word, Hebrews 4:12. Make your confessions, make your declarations awesome as many times as necessary. Psalms 19:14. You got to make sure you pray and believe Philippians 4:6. And then fellowship, Matthew 19:19. And then rise above the fear, John 14:27. And then I also gave for supplemental scriptures was Romans 10:9, Colossians 4:6, Psalms 119:105. And then in the very beginning, of course, I led with the Lord's Prayer of Matthew 6:9-13. Remember, it is the kingdom of God to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, not our will. Now, I know that I am never out of talk, but I am out of time. And I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to Him, because it does. And I got to see her yesterday, and today is my nephew's birthday. Happy birthday, baby Aiden. Muffy loves you. Make sure that you tune in each week to hear an exciting word from on high, one to encourage, one to educate, and to empower. We are caring for the Empower to Change Block Talk Radio, where we want you to come and enjoy. But more importantly, we want you to remember that you have to start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and then end your day with prayer. God bless you all, and have a wonderful week. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers!
God. You are God.
Every praise.
Every praise. forward, take it up and praise. It's to our God.